time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Guys, Paul is having such a rough morning.
Mondays are hard.
So just to set the scene for you guys before our show, while Lance and John are on, or in this case, Lance and Dal this morning, we're usually outside just kind of prepping our show, talking about what we want to hit on, et cetera, et cetera. This man, as we're walking inside, drops his entire computer.
Yeah.
And it like falls apart. Now it's still intact, but he's a weirdo. He has a mouse that he takes around with him.
Well, I'm not going to.
With his tablet?
Look, it's a tablet / computer. You know, it's a Surface Pro. But yeah.
It's a Surface Pro.
Well, yeah.
I'm Paul. I went to a Catholic private school. I have a Surface Pro.
Private schools only.
To Syracuse. I have a Surface Pro.
Listen, when you're on top of the game,
you got
to have all of the technology you can.
Rich.
Just have walking in. The thing just fell on the floor.
Okay, but it didn't happen once. So then he drops the mouse again, and then he drops the mouse once we get in the studio and Lance and Dell exit. Then he drops the mouse again.
It's their fault.
They were literally not in here when it happened.
I blame them. Like, you know, I got to get in here. I got to set up all my stuff. And, you know, there's a little bit of nerves that I always have about getting all said stuff set up. So I don't have it in my bag. I'm like holding it all in my arms at once. And yeah, that stupid mouse just keeps on falling on the ground. I don't know how it still works. I don't know how the Surface Pro still works. But we are lucky. And we are off and running. And I blame Sunday as well. I blame everybody but myself, Vanessa.
Yeah,
I'm not going to blame going to Chili's on Sunday and drinking a bunch. I'm going to blame Sundays. I'm going to blame Chili's. And I'm going to blame everything.
You had a lot of chips and salsa with some beer last night, for sure. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. This is ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Well, it seems like the never-ending story of everything involving Deshaun Watson, and it has developed a little bit. So Deshaun Watson, as most of you probably know, was supposed to get deposed this week.
Right.
Watson, Harden, Tony Busby. We expected maybe a plead the fifth, or I have no recollection or whatever, but we're not even, it seems like, going to get to that, because there is going to be a hearing today that will determine if Watson's deposition could be delayed because not all of the 20-plus women have been deposed. I don't know if it's because of the amount of women, or like, we're not legal experts and we're not going to pretend to be. We know that the legal process takes a long time for a lot of these different situations. I'm even surprised that it's taking this long.
I am too. Part of it has to do with COVID from last year, no doubt about
it.
But now that we're getting back towards the new normal, I wonder what it is that potentially could be the holdup. Is this maybe something bad for Deshaun Watson? Is there something that by getting all 22... depositions of every single one of the alleged victims, are they going to feel a little bit more comfortable with how to operate? Would it be easier for them to maybe make a civil suit? I don't know the details myself. I thought for sure, though, that they would want to get this done as soon as possible. And generally, this is based off of my very, very limited observation of the law. Generally, when you're trying to delay a case, I would imagine that's because you don't feel great about how the case is on this day, and you think it might be better for you a couple of weeks from now, a couple of months from now.
Well, Aaron Wilson is the one that had, you know, that had said he does have an update an hour ago. Hearing is set for this afternoon in Harris County. A procedural motion to request delay of Deshaun Watson deposition because not all of the 22 litigants in civil lawsuits have been deposed, which was the original plan. His deposition scheduled for Tuesday, tomorrow, could be pushed back. So could. This
Good.
Afternoon, we should know more. To me, it's not that this is, I hesitate to say anything is bad for Deshaun Watson, because if it helps him prove what he has said, which is that he doesn't think he did anything wrong, it's a good thing regardless of how long it takes. Strictly from a football perspective, and I know that sexual misconduct allegations go beyond football, but speaking for football only. The league year starts soon.
Right.
I mean, we're coming to the combine, which means the draft is around the corner. And look, if you don't have to cover the NFL, if you're an NFL fan, this is year round. This league is year round. And so it's not good, in my opinion, for anything to be delayed. It might actually help improve his innocence if all 22, I don't know. So it could be good for him legally, which is ultimately what matters. But football-wise, and if you're a Texans fan and you want him out of Houston and you say, come to mama with the draft picks, I do think that this is a bad thing.
Right. And look, if you ask for a delay, you never know how long they're going to kick the can down the road as far as the next time that you would be perhaps brought forward in front of people to get to post. So, yeah, guess what? This conversation, it's never going to end. And that also, I think, for a lot of people is a bummer, right?
Right.
I mean, who wants to talk about this? We just want to figure out what the hell the Texans are going to actually get in return for Deshaun Watson in a theoretical trade. And Vanessa, I did see something, and I don't know how much stock to put in it, because this is from a guy that I used to intern for, Dan Cilio. Dan Cilio is somebody who has worked at a variety of different radio stations across the country and generally says something dumb, and then the next thing you know, he's out. He was always nice to me, though, so, you know, I don't really have a bone to pick with him. But he essentially threw out there that there might be a team with a very good player, a former number one overall pick in Chase Young, the Washington football team. They are looking to potentially get a veteran quarterback. This is based off of an Athletic report. And it was essentially a mailbag where someone said, hey, with the Washington football team, would Washington Commanders, would they be willing to trade Chase Young for a quarterback? And the guy's like, yeah, I guess. And then you see this report from Dan Cilio that there is an offer on the table where the Washington Commanders would offer Chase Young. They would also offer their pick in the first round of the draft, the 11th pick, and the 42nd pick, plus a third round pick in 2023. And naturally, this thing blows up. A lot of people are like, okay, Cilio's full of it. Other people are like, well, let's look at it from this perspective. Would that be something that you would accept?
Yeah, I mean, because I think that where the Texans are at right now, we know that this is not a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And I'm sorry if that's hashtag breaking news. But do you want to get to a point to where it seems like you can put together a good season, win a couple AFC South championships? Now, some people, the answer to that is no. Some people are full tank until you get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I hate that. But
I agree, but some people, that's there. If you can't go to the Super Bowl, it's Super Bowl or bust, and let's just build it. I don't hate the idea of Chase Young. The injury is a question.
The torn ACL, which he suffered, I believe it was on November 14th.
Yes.
So,
right. Look at you with the date.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I think it was the game against the Buccaneers, and he found out a week later that he had actually torn it. I think people think that you're going to get a bigger haul than this. And I think there's a lot of the online types who will look at a first-round pick and they're like, oh my God, first-round pick, and they put way too much stock in them. Those people, in fact, annoy the hell out of me. But this is, I think, a haul that you look at and you say, I like it. You get a guy in Chase Young who theoretically can be the linchpin of your defense. You get a first-round pick that's not quite top 10 as well, and then you get a second-round pick too. So you get a lot of things to work with right now. But I think a lot of people are like, I want two first-round picks plus another perhaps first-round pick, a third first-round pick if I possibly can get it. If you can get a star player that legitimately has shown in the NFL that he's competent, I feel like that should be your priority if you're the Texans. Because going after all those draft picks, that's great. They had a decent draft class for NFL.com. In fact, they apparently had the best draft class in the AFC South last year despite not having a first-round pick or a second-round pick.
I would agree. In the entire AFC South, I would agree with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Not like it's, you know, competing with anything serious.
Three other teams, okay.
But at the same time, hey, okay, that's neat. Still, I want the proven thing. There have been too many times where teams have traded for a ton of first-round draft picks, and what do they end up with? You know, we saw it with the Titans a couple of years ago where there's a trade up to, I think it was Jared Goff, so that they could get that first overall pick. And what did the Titans get with those two first round picks?
Right.
Like I don't think it's really been a massive difference maker that a lot of people assume that they would get. But if you can get a guy like Chase Young, yeah, I'm absolutely for that. And I hope that there are other ideas that maybe the Texans have, even though this rumor is probably, you know, nothing more than just a giant fart lingering in the wind, you know, like instead of smoke. I think it's a stinker because I don't think there's actually anything like legit to it. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you are a team that is in need of a quarterback and you have the goods to provide the Texans, you should be considering Deshaun Watson. Now, there are some teams that might not because of everything that's gone on. But if you are in need of a solid quarterback, and if you have the draft picks to give to Nick Caserio or trade with Nick Caserio, I think that it's something that needs to be looked into. The injury thing, look, I mean, Deshaun suffered an injury. So the injury doesn't concern me too much, but it is worth noting. But that's something that I think a lot of Texans fans would have mixed feelings on. What's the realistic now, you know, thing now that his, it seems like his deposition could be delayed? Only time will tell, and we should know more, of course, by this afternoon. You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, coming up, some college hoops action. A big weekend for Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs. And Juwan Howard, what are you doing? That's next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I love when you play Tom Petty for me, Tyler. So sweet of you. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're a mess.
Yeah, I am a hot mess today.
He's, I mean, not only has he dropped his computer mouse three times.
And the actual computer.
But he was dating-ish. Two girls. Okay, so he had a blind date that was fine, and then the one that got away texted him back. If you're following the saga, so I come in this morning, and I say, hey, did you go out this weekend with the blind date girl or the one that got away? He says to me, neither. I went out with two new girls.
Well, they weren't new. I mean, one wasn't new.
Please explain yourself.
So, I mean, I ran into somebody that I got on a date with a couple of weeks ago at a bar, said hi. We had a nice conversation, you know? You know, had espresso martinis at McIntyre's, and then there was someone that I matched with on another dating app that I took out on Saturday. I didn't know that was going to happen until basically like 5:45, and I had like at this point in the day, I'd had four or five drinks already, and I was like, "Oh crap!"
Wait,
now I gotta
this
go
was
home?
The same day?
Oh yeah. No, not the. I mean, I met the other person on Friday night. And on Saturday, I'm out with some friends at Wicklow Heights. It's a beautiful afternoon, and some friends are about to come over, and this person that I had asked out like 3 days ago was like, hey, yeah, sorry, I wasn't, you know, checking my app, let's go. So yeah, I went to Ninfa's and truck yard downtown. Yeah,
those are good choices though,
right?
As much as I'm making fun of you, Ninfa's is a really good choice.
Ninfa's was awesome.
Truck yard's a great bar,
but I think Ninfa's, so I don't really know how to describe this, but I was, after the date, I had a good time. Some of my friends told me, hey, so I dropped her off. This is night number two. Okay. So they told me to come to a bar, and I get to the bar, and all of a sudden, I'm like experiencing this lower abdominal pain. I'm like, what the hell's going on right now? So I was basically like doubled over in pain for the entire rest of the night. And as I, you know, started thinking about it, like, is this indigestion? No, I just randomly had pain in a certain area that is weird to have pain in. It was just weird. And I felt like crap, so I had to go home.
And you're like the guy at the Olympics with the frozen penis.
Yes, except for it was not that. It was another part. And so that sucked. And then I woke up, figured, okay, I'm going to be taking it easy on Sunday. I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to be a hot mess coming in on Monday and drop my computer. And my friends told me, hey, we're going to Chili's. And I was like, damn it, I can't say no to anybody.
So you drank all 3 days this weekend?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5. I like working with you because it makes me feel like I have
like
everything together.
I know. And I'm the one of his 30s. Jesus.
You know who doesn't have everything together is Juwan Howard. Do you see that TV transition?
That was a nice transition.
I liked the Juwan Howard hire. I really did.
I did too.
Only because he's an alum, like that's great, but just because the way that he interacts with the guys seemed solid. But this is not the first issue. What happened this weekend?
You're saying it in the past tense almost. Do you feel like he might end up getting canned?
Because it's not the first time. Remember, he had a verbal altercation last season at some point with somebody that wasn't a big deal. This was a big deal though.
Michigan, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're playing one another. The game is wrapping up. Wisconsin has it easily in hand.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you could tell that Juwan Howard, he's a little slow going into the handshake line. And when he actually gets up to Wisconsin's coach, they look at each other, and Juwan is a little aggressive. And he gets pokey. And this is how the exchange sounded on CBS.
77-63. And Juwan Howard not going over immediately to shake hands. Now he's going to get in the line. Interesting finish here.
They're playing the fade-out music.
Oh, see, and they're going at it.
Oh, yeah.
Howard and guard are not happy right now as the two of them continue to have words. We told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo, and Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh, my God.
I love at the end, oh, my God, and that they cut the music. Because you're so right that you could put the March Madness theme underneath anything.
Incredible.
And it just sounds so awesome. I wish they kept going because then there's that little happy hook at the end. It would have been really funny.
It was a good call by, Andrew Catalan?
I think so, yes.
It was a really good call because he didn't overdo it. People are saying, oh, Juwan Howard punched it. You don't know what a punch is if you think he punched
it. No, it was a right-handed slap.
But, there's a scrum in Madison or whatever he said. That was awesome. So conversations about what should happen with Juwan Howard as a result of this, because he actually didn't apologize.
No, he didn't.
Like, which I kind of respect.
You respect it. Okay, hang on now. Okay, if you respect this defense of what he did, I think you're crazy, Vanessa. So here, Juwan Howard, afterwards, at the podium, he was asked, hey, why did you just slap this rando? Because it wasn't even Greg Gard.
Well, also, it wasn't Greg Gard. It was an assistant coach. That's number one. And number two, why did Michigan let him go to the room after this?
Because he's Juwan Howard.
To be interviewed by the press?
Do you think they're going to tell someone from the Fab Five what to do? He's Juwan Howard.
Right. He probably wanted to. I didn't agree with the fact that he didn't apologize, but I kind of respected the petty a little bit.
So he smacks Joe Krabbenhoft in the face. What a name. And here is Juwan Howard's defense of his smack.
You know, I addressed with the head coach that I will remember that. Because of that timeout.
Petty.
And for someone to touch me, and I think that was very uncalled for him to touch me as we were verbalizing and communicating with one another. So that's what ended up happening, and that's what escalated it.
Yeah, I guess if you could, expand on that a little more. What
no,
led
I would
to...
not expand on it. I just share with you the story, what happened.
Well, as far as touching, I mean, there's obvious touching with the handshake line. It must have been more than that, you're saying.
More than that, yeah. touching me unnecessary wasn't cause for that when we were talking. And at that point, you know, I thought that was, you know, time to protect myself.
Okay, so was it guard? Was it the head coach or was it the assistant coach that initially got in his way?
It was guard that initially.
Okay.
They're handshaking, and in that moment, Howard was expressing issue with the fact that he called a timeout towards the end.
Right.
But he called the timeout, and we don't need to play guard's answer, I think, on this one. But guard essentially said, look, I had like my backups in, and they were facing a full court press. So I called a timeout so that they could reset the shot clock or something like that. Or the
inbound
clock.
I will say this. Guard, if you watch the video, guard getting in his way and like not letting him go through, I do think is asking for confrontation. Now, important that I say this too. I'm not excusing any behavior. I'm just saying that it's not like Juwan Howard's anger came out of anywhere, and I also kind of respect the pettiness.
Yes, but at the end, see, so at the very end of that clip, that's because you get lost because you hear Howard essentially like dodging his way around answering the question.
Right.
At the end, he says, it's self-defense. What are you talking
about? He's wrong.
He's like, you're 7 feet tall almost. You're one of the biggest players that played basketball ever, right? I mean, you're not like 7'7" or anything like that, but okay. You're definitely in like the top percentile. And you feel threatened by this little pot-bellied dude, or you feel threatened by this bro with his nice haircut that was in between you. You had like 5 or 6 different people as the scrum was getting like more and more testy. And then he reaches over and he slaps. Yeah, I needed to defend myself. What are you talking about? You're Juwan Howard. You could grab him and throw that person into the stands. I mean, come on. That to me, I was like, Juwan, no. That's wrong.
You're 100% right. It was not self-defense. Okay, so here's the question.
A ballsy defense by him, though.
Very ballsy. Suspended or fired? I say suspended until they make the postseason, then he can coach them in the postseason.
Yeah, I think rest of the regular season. I mean
it's
that's
not
fine.
Bob Knight. He didn't like almost choke a kid.
But I also think, you know, too, I can understand why he got a little bit worked up. Now, that said, Michigan was doing a full court press at the end of the game, too. So if you're thinking about that,
100%.
Hey, you want the game to end, then maybe don't do the full court press. You know, if you want to get to the buses as quickly as you possibly can. We'll see if Michigan actually does get into the postseason. But yeah, I think that's the way to go. But man, I've seen some interesting takes on him. Of course, some people are going to call for him to get fired because they're like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, it was just
those people are overreactors.
Those were some of the same people that thought when Myles Garrett like bopped Mason Rudolph on the head with the helmet, like that he should have gone to jail. And I was like, well, is anyone thinking about what Myles Garrett maybe heard from Mason Rudolph, who seems to be, I don't know, someone
that was worse than this because it was a helmet strike. Though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So that, though, everyone was like, he needs to go to jail. This one, I mean, it's a slap through a crowd.
It's a little dramatic.
Right. It's classic basketball fights, too, where nothing ever gets serious anymore. I kind of would have loved to see what would take place because that, you know, if you slap somebody in the face, that is pretty disrespectful. You know, I feel like the guy who got slapped in the face, he should have been able to slap back. You know, I mean, at the very least, if there was something like that, then maybe I would feel like he doesn't need to be suspended for the rest of the season. Like he gets a little bit of a slap back, a little taste of his own medicine. But if he only gets the slap in and the other guy doesn't get the slap back, I think that's wrong.
I think morally. One of the things that I saw on Twitter that I liked was Mike Golic Sr. basically saying that it's like all adults involved handled this wrong.
Yeah, it was bad. It was all the way around. I like that it happened. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it was dramatic.
I thought that on the broadcast, everyone's saying, "Oh my god!" at the end, like I've seen worse. It's just it's two teams pissed off at each other at the end of a game. I think Vanessa on the TV that we have in studio, they have one of the Speak for Your Pizza shows on right now, Scream at Your Pizza, and on the bottom line, there was a conversation about should the handshake line be taken out of sports so that things like this don't happen again. I guess. That's the first time I can remember actually things getting like that in a handshake line.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if you can't handle a handshake line, you have issues that you probably need to address
yeah.
with like a counselor.
Therapist.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's a bad, but
therapy
like.
Therapy is always the answer.
Yeah. If you can't get your life together enough for a handshake line, I don't know what to tell you. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on
Smack.
ESPN 97.5. Coming up, will there be an NFL Combine? Yes, but over half of the guys might not be there. Plus a report from our favorite guy, Mike Florio. That's coming up.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy Monday. Thanks for tuning in to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa, he's Gallant. I'm at Sports Vanessa, he's at
Gallant Says. You almost forgot it, my God.
I did, I'm sorry. All right, with the NFL Combine, it's coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the deal. Usually a great place for people to show their skills, get judged, be interviewed in one of the greatest cities in America, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Sigh.
One of the greatest cities in America.
See, now you sound sarcastic talking about your hometown.
No, I love it. Dan Graziano, Tom Pelissero, Mike Florio, a myriad of reporters and people reporting that there's a chance that about half of the guys are going to boycott it.
Whoa. Well, what happens to Indianapolis? Because if Indianapolis doesn't have the combine, will all the people that live there be able to eat, you know, and feed their families? Because isn't this when, like, the biggest of influx of cash comes into Indianapolis every year?
And you laugh, combine? But I was a waitress there. So actually, yeah, it does affect their income.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With the NFL scouting combine set to begin next week in Indianapolis, this is per ESPN, by the way, a group of player agents is threatening to organize a boycott of key elements of the annual event if its concerns about a COVID-19 bubble for prospects are not addressed. So there's going to be a bubble. It's going to be really restricted, and apparently agents have an issue with certain elements of that.
I don't blame them at this point, and part of this has to do with me just being kind of sick of all the things that we collectively have had to deal with when it comes to restrictions. And I'm a little more sensitive to it, having lived in Seattle, Washington for the last 2 years during a pandemic. I mean, they still have mask policies in place. I don't know what specifically it is, though, that these agents take such issue with. And honestly, yeah, okay, maybe you make a grand stand. Maybe you make a point. And I'm not telling these guys how to operate, but I feel like, you know, if you're in this situation, if you're one of the NFL's future players and they're telling you not to go to the combine, like, I don't think that's necessarily in your best interest, especially if you're somebody that's not supposed to be a first or a second round pick. Like, if that happens to you, then I don't know. I don't know if I would pay, if I would be falling in line with this.
If you're a first or second round pick, you don't really need to go. But beyond that, you need to go.
For a lot of players, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wonder how this goes down, because I'm sorry. If you're asking me as a guy coming out of college to be selfish for the collective good of the NFL Players Association, middle finger your way.
Completely.
Sorry, I'm not someone that cares about, you know, the other people in my group. I'm only thinking about myself. And I wouldn't want to be put in that situation, because you're young, you're impressionable. Maybe you're made to believe at 19, 20, 21 years old, however old you are going to this, that this is going to be good for you. And I don't really think so. Now, I'm not going to act as if the restrictions that are put in place aren't annoying. I'm also not going to act as if the NFL Combine itself is one of those things where it's just awkward. You know, I mean, you're walking around and you're essentially like a huge, you know, hunk of beef. You know, you got your
you're a hunk of beef.
Seriously, you're wearing like spandex. And I mean, you're supposed to be, you know, they're measuring like your arm length and your hand size, and
yeah, but those medicals and those physicals that they do are important. I will say this. There are things that have happened at the combine in the past that don't need to happen. So you hear the horror stories of these really awkward questions that they ask, that team presidents and owners and GMs ask players, and some of them have been out of line in the past. Those things don't need to happen. There are elements of it that are probably off. But for them to boycott the entire thing, to your point, if you're taking a stand and you're like a 20-year-old kid that is predicted to be a fourth-round player, good luck.
Right.
Seriously, good luck.
Yeah. I think that you got to really think about whether or not this is in your best interest here. So we'll see what takes place. I think they're going to make a formal statement or something at some point.
It's supposed to be today where we learn more about it.
Yeah. But I would tell anybody, if you think there's a chance that you're not going to be drafted early on, or even if there is a chance that you're going to be drafted early on, I would talk with somebody. I would talk with somebody who knows what's up, because I feel like this might be something that's held against you through no fault of your own, because you just decided to stay in solidarity with everybody else. 155 players, like, some of those guys might not get drafted because of this if you don't get the chance to sit down with somebody. And some of these guys might end up getting drafted later than they wanted to. So imagine you go from being a second round pick to a fifth round pick or something like that, or a third to a fourth, even something as slight as that. I mean, that small of a difference can be all that it takes for you to end up not being on a roster going into the year. So yeah, I've never worked in a business where, like, being a part of a union is something that's necessarily important. I understand there's probably some people listening that are like, no, I mean, this is how it's done. But yeah, sorry, screw the collective good. Like, I'm thinking about myself.
Well, there are players too, and you have to remember they're all going through their agents. So, like, Athletes First, which is David Mulugeta, that's who Deshaun and Jalen Ramsey are represented by. There are agents, specific agencies that are taking a stand. So it might be one of those things to where these guys feel like they need to, if their agent is taking a stand against it, they feel like they need to as well. I don't know if it's completely necessary, but we will see. Mike Florio writing, there is great strength in numbers, and it's great to see the players and agents coming together to push back against a process that thrives on pushing the buttons of young men who are wired to compete. A process that thrives on pushing the buttons of young men who are wired. That's so dramatic.
Well, it is true, though, because some of the questions that are asked at the combine are absolutely ridiculous.
But I address that. It's like those things need to go, but, like, you're not a victim because you're at Lucas Oil running routes.
That's fair.
Like, it's fine.
You have a brick. You can either kill your mother or your father. What do you do?
What is that?
That's some of the questions that they ask at the combine. Yeah. Like, stuff like that, like, to try and trigger you for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know why they ask those questions.
Well, and it would, like, come out that they would ask, like, African-American athletes if they come from single family homes, but not white athletes. Like, there's a lot about it that has needed to change for a
while. Does your mom do crack? Like, right. That's apparently questions 100%. That have actually been asked. And it's entirely because they're trying to get a reaction from some of these players, but it's messed up. Like, I mean, in most situations, if somebody was asking you that and you're working with them, I mean, you could go to HR right afterwards and say, yeah, did you hear what Mr. Jones said to me today? You know, like, you could go right away and have that person probably in trouble. So this is interesting that they're taking that stand. Honestly, you should have played like some sort of American music in the background of Floria's little statement there. Like, we're standing for America. We will fight tyranny and oppression.
You know? He's so aggressive.
I do like Floria. I do like Pro Football Talk. So, but every now and then, a little bit too much on that front. And I would just say, okay, great. You're part of the collective good, but are you beating the NFL? No. Sorry. The little man usually loses.
And the NFL is a train that's going to keep on rolling regardless.
Yeah. So the little men band together. Okay, great. There's a bunch of ants. Squash. You know, I mean, there goes 10 prospects, 20 prospects who might end up being drafted later. So I would, if I were in these players' shoes, I would have very long conversations, and not with people who are like first or second round picks or established players in the league, because they're usually clueless when it comes to all of this. Like, they live up on an ivory tower. I would talk to players that maybe you know that you went to college with that have gone to the NFL but maybe didn't make it, and say, like, hey, what should I do here? Because those guys are going to have a much better perspective for you about what your career could possibly be than any of the people that are usually the people that have the microphone in front of them. Because those guys are, like, making hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, yeah, we're in solidarity. It's like, you have no stakes in this game. What are you talking about?
Right. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can stream us on Twitch. You can hear us on the ESPN app. Talking about half the players are expected to possibly boycott certain aspects of the NFL Combine. Yes, it needs modified, but to your point, you always hear stories of players who were drafted really, really late, and GMs or coaches will say, look, this guy wasn't even on our radar, but he was such an impressive interview, or he was so impressive at the Combine.
Really fast.
He ran whatever, right? Yeah. I mean, you hear that, and so you're blowing your chance of that. If you decide not to be in this combine, we need to talk about University of Houston basketball.
Oh, yeah. Look.
I mean, they're missing Marcus Sasser. They're missing their best players, and they're on a roll.
They're banged up. In the game that they played yesterday, so Wichita State isn't what Wichita State used to be with Greg Marshall out, but they won that game in double overtime. And, you know, there's a sequence towards the very end of that second overtime where I thought, honestly, Wichita State was about to win because UH was down to six players in that game. And in that sequence, UH got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you could tell that their legs were dead.
Right.
They're absolutely gassed. And they kept on getting rebound after rebound after rebound. And then eventually they're able to put it in. And then at the very end, I mean, to see what they were able to do with 5 seconds left, it's a tie game. Like, there's a pretty safe assumption to make that this is going to go to triple overtime, especially if your guys are probably extremely gassed. But what we ended up seeing at the very end, Jamal Sheed just outran everybody. He just dribbled down the court and juke, and he finds Juwan Roberts with the game-winning dunk with a second left. I don't know how far this team goes this year. We've seen them earlier in the year. I mean, they played really well against Alabama, but they lost. They played really well against Wisconsin, and they lost. Maybe they're a little bit more ready, I guess, come tournament time to go up against teams like that, because I know against Wisconsin they talked about how they sort of lost track of time at the very end of the game and it spoiled what could have been a 20-point comeback. But you know, considering what they are working with, and you mentioned it, Vanessa, the guys that they're missing, this was a really gritty, tough win, and it's great to have a team in basketball that has consistently, over the last couple of years, given you that effort every single night. That doesn't have guys sitting off to the side like John Wall or James Harden, just absolutely mailing it in. Like the Rockets, you know, I want to get back on that Rockets bandwagon. It's hard. This is the best basketball team in town.
100%.
And they're a team that you have to, I honestly feel like, you know, with the way that sports have kind of been going when the Astros are not playing, this is one of those teams where I feel like they kind of deserve your time. You know,
I mean, they went to the Final Four.
To watch it,
well, they went to the Final Four.
Yeah,
they absolutely deserve your time.
Right, and they're not Baylor either. Who's the worst? No,
no. Here's the thing. Kelvin Sampson has done less or more with less. Excuse me. He's done more with less. 11 consecutive games won. They're 8-0 in the American Athletic Conference. 19-12 overall. I'm reading. I think this is Brian T. Smith wrote a great article about Kelvin Sampson kind of doing more with less. If you would have told me that they were going to be this good without Marcus Sasser, keep in mind it's hard to be good after you go to a Final Four. It's not like
and you lose guys, right?
Right. You lose guys to graduation, to the draft, etc. But he's got a great culture there. And listen, I'm from Indiana. I did not like Kelvin Sampson for a long time.
Now you like
what he? Oh, he's great. And he's an amazing interview. He's super compassionate. He's a great leader. And they all really respect him. You talk about a coach that those guys do not want to let down. That's Kelvin Sampson.
Isn't it funny the way that we look at some of these coaches that have like done things that every single other college basketball coach has done in the past? We're like, oh man, that guy, he's just a shady character. What? Because he paid players? Like, everyone right. does it.
Because
Coach K does it.
Because he texted Derek Elston and gave him a pair of shoes. But at the time, it seemed so egregious. And now, of course, we just laugh at it. All right, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Coming up, hope for Astros fans comes in the form of a baptism. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're listening to Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can stream us on Twitch if you'd love to see Paul's lovely face.
Thank you. I appreciate that compliment.
The people that were watching Twitch also probably saw you drop your computer. Sad face.
Why do you have to bring that up? You know what? I was about to say,
I'm trying to trigger you.
I was actually about to say, they're actually tuned in for you because they want to see you. They definitely don't want to see my pastiness. Right. Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, you're an idiot and dropped your computer today. How's that? Hey, remember when you dropped your mouse 3 times? That was funny.
Well, just wait till we get to the segment on your dating life. It is a Monday, and, you know, some of us are religious, some of us aren't. Carlos Correa and Daniela Correa apparently are. They have a cute little baby who was baptized this past week. I believe in the Catholic Church. Rich Catholic kid.
The rich Catholic kid. Look, I'm Catholic. And I thought it was noteworthy that the McCullers are the godparents.
Absolutely.
Because I think, look, we continue to look at the situation. There's a variety of different factors that I would imagine that Carlos Correa is going to be looking at when it comes to wherever he ends up playing baseball next. And the lockout being what it is right now also is going to put a big, big kibosh on, I would imagine, any developments that have to do with where we think Correa might go, rumors and things of that nature. But he clearly has a bond here, and it is more than just, hey, I play with these guys, they're my teammates. I mean, if someone feels strongly enough about one of his teammates to make them their godparents, like that's pretty important stuff. I mean, that's essentially, if you're a Catholic, that's essentially like saying, like, yeah, you're my sibling. If you are going to go tell someone, you can be a godparent.
I grew up in a Church of Christ, so we didn't do the godparent type thing. Yeah. But my parents have a lot of Catholic friends, so they have a couple of godchildren.
Right.
But I don't have godparents.
So my godmother is my dad's, like, closest cousin.
Okay.
And my godfather is not an Italian mobster. My godfather is my mom's younger brother, but like they were really close growing up. So it's generally someone that's extremely close to you, and largely it's going to be someone that's a family member. And if you're doing it and it's not a family member, like that means that there's a pretty, it's a pretty big deal. Now again,
is it legally, if your parents die, that's who gets you?
I don't think it's a legal matter.
Oh, okay.
I think that like that, because, you know, I feel like if, say, I were to be named godfather of my my nephew who was just born on Halloween, I have no idea if that's going to happen. I honestly doubt that that's going to happen for some reason.
Jury's out on that.
Yeah, like that would be the worst thing in the world if all of a sudden I'm taking care of a kid. I could barely handle a cat. But anyway, look, we're all speculating at this point in time. We're looking for anything we possibly can to try and figure out where Carlos Correa is going next. I would just say this is one more positive, hey, look, Houston has this going for it. He clearly is close with his teammates here. He's not going to find that elsewhere. And, you know, for anybody, Vanessa, you've been all over the country. It's hard to pick up and move and go elsewhere. And look, he's young, so it's not like it's going to be that hard. And also, he's got money and he's going to be able to travel all over the place,
too. That's the thing. It ain't hard if you got cash.
But I think that's overrated a little bit. I still think that, like, you want to be in the same place as people, like, for the majority of a year, you want to be in the same place as people that you're actually close to. And yeah, if you got money, you can travel. But it is a little different, I think. I don't think it's quite as easy as it's made out to be for these guys. There's still a physical distance. They're still going to the airport. There's still all sorts of pain in the ass things that you have to deal with along the way. So I think this is good for the Astros that, like, hey, look, he's really close with Lance McCullers. And he's close enough with Lance and with Alex Bregman too, where they're going to sporting events together. Like there's clearly a friendship here that I think is more than just, oh, we're in the same locker room with each other. And it's one of the cooler things about the Astros as they kind of changed from 2015 throughout. You know, a lot of baseball clubhouses, they're kind of segregated. You know, there'll be a group where it's those who are, you know, speaking Spanish for the most part. And then, you know, you have you might have the white guys. And then, you know, maybe there's some players from overseas like Japan or Korea or something like that. And the Astros were never like that. And
They got along really well. Here's the thing. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We know that Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers Jr. are good friends. They host a UFC podcast together. They're always together.
I didn't even know that. Interesting.
They do. They host a UFC podcast together. They're both really into it. I remember when I was in college, I job shadowed Bob Lamy and Jim Sorgi. At the time, Bob Lamy was play-by-play for the Colts.
Colts play-by-play, yes.
Jim Sorgi was color commentator, former backup quarterback.
Peyton Manning's backup forever.
Yes, and I remember Jim Sorgi telling me that the schedule of an NFL player being away from home is nothing compared to that of a baseball player.
Yeah.
Because think about it. It's 8 games. I guess now it could be 9 if you're in the NFL.
Right.
Right? For the Astros, for MLB players, it's like half the year. So to me...
Yeah, and you're on the road.
Like, you are on the road. You're on the road a lot.
Football, you're at home for the buildup to the weekend, right? Generally. That's when you're out of town.
So I see what you're saying about picking up and moving. For a NFL player, I don't think it's a big deal at all. For a baseball player, it is probably more of a big deal because your season and your home base and how often you're gone. But I disagree with you. I disagree with you that it's that big of a deal because I think financially, especially after he gets the money, that he's going to get a bag. He might not get the bag that he wants, the Tatis bag, but he's getting a bag. He can have a house here. They can have a house wherever he ends up. I don't think they view it as that big of a deal to move.
Okay. Well, then how about this? Correa is not liked outside of Houston. Now, I don't know what it is like player to player across baseball. I think it's always a little bit different. I mean, obviously fans are going to look at Carlos Correa and be like, ah, he's a cheater. You know, things like that and lose their
mind.
That
was a cat sound.
Right. So I don't know what players feel, how they feel about Carlos Correa. But, you know, with the way that he strongly came after Cody Bellinger and some of the other guys that were talking trash after the cheating accusations came to light, I do think that there would be a break-in period for Correa in any other clubhouse that he goes to. And
you think it would take people a while?
It could happen overnight. I mean, if you play well, then I think people are... And I think a lot of these clubhouses would be very excited to add someone like him. But I think there are some others that maybe are going to look at him with a side eye always. That's not going to happen here. And look, I'm just looking for reasons that he would look at Houston and maybe take less than what he is possibly going to get. And he can get $300 million on the open market. So this is mostly wishful thinking on my part. But I do think that these are dynamics that are, you know, not money, that could perhaps play a factor in it. And I just thought it was interesting that Carlos Correa decided that, yeah, the McCullers, they're going to be my godparents for my kid.
I totally agree with that. And I do think, I've told this story a few times, but after they lost the World Series to the Braves, there was a small scrum of media. And we talked to Carlos Correa, and I asked him what his priority was. Now, obviously, he's not going to say money. We know money's a priority. But he said he wants to go somewhere where he and Danielle are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might be onto something when it comes to priorities and what's important to Carlos Correa and his wife. But yes, Astros fans getting a little surge of hope when they saw Lance, Carlos, and Bregman together at, it was a UFC fight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, this past weekend, as little baby Kylo, cute baby, by the way, was baptized into the Catholic Church.
Kylo, like Kylo Ren? Like Star Wars? Is it really Kylo?
The baby's name is Kylo. I don't watch Star Wars. I've never seen it.
Oh, Kylo Ren is the bad guy in the newest trilogy of Star Wars. He is...
The baby's name is Kylo.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's a Star Wars name. That's a Star Wars baby. And honestly, I mean, so Adam Driver plays Kylo Ren in that.
Oh! Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, the thing that you know Kylo Ren probably most for is the online meme of saying more, more, more. Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting name. I would not have guessed Kylo Ren because I honestly feel like this latest trilogy of Star Wars movies was pretty
disappointing.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I've never seen Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, any of the...
If you had to try one of them, and only one, and there's a gun to your head, you have to pick one, and you have to watch it. You have to watch all of them. Which would you pick?
What was the one that William Shatner was in?
The one that William Shatner was in. So he was in the Star Trek movies from a really long time ago, from like the 1970s, and of course the Star Trek TV show too.
Okay.
So the most recent Star Trek movies would have Chris Pine as the lead actor in them.
Oh.
Yeah. See, she's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch this one. Because otherwise, I mean, you're the guy who plays Frodo Baggins. What's his name? I'm guessing that he's not at the top of the food chain as far as appealing on the eyes.
Elijah Wood?
Elijah Wood, yeah.
No, I like him big. Bigger.
You like him big? You like him big?
Yeah, I guess that would be it. The new Star Trek?
The new Star Trek, okay.
Is the one with Chris Pine?
Okay, yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, I'm going to stop the sweating that I'm doing right now. We're going to talk more about Lovie Smith's update and his comments to Peter King, as well as the situation with Deshaun Watson, which we still should know something about this afternoon. That's coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.